Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 19th of November. Joining us this morning, Eureka City Schools Superintendent, Mr. Fred Van Fleck. Good morning, bud.
Good morning.
Yes, that's
7 days of Thanksgiving.
You know, I wonder who stole the Great American Smokeout. Wasn't this always the day?
I don't know. I've never participated in that before.
Yeah, I've not had to either. Well, no, you know what? We recognize it every day.
Oh, I do in the wintertime as well. Burning my wood stove. Does
yeah, okay. Yeah, you just don't breathe in the flames, right?
Yeah.
All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
Huh, that's an interesting one. Let's go with shucks. Why do we say, oh, shucks, and he's not worth shucks? Okay, admittedly, I've never heard that last
oh,
one.
Oh, shucks.
I've got an idea.
I'm sensing this has agricultural roots to it, so Mr. Van Fleck, you are on, buddy.
I believe this absolutely has something to do with the shucks on the ears of corn. And if you're not worth shucks, the shucks on the ears of corn are worth nothing, obviously, since you're going after the kernels on the corn. And so that's where it's derived from.
Okay.
Final answer.
It's scary how almost word for word that was.
Oh, good. I guess that's about a 97 then, huh? Now, did you must have known that from somewhere, huh?
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. With the governor's change of status, I know. I guess we according to the standards, we've earned it. What does the changes mean to what your guys' approach and gals' approach has been with the educational model for Eureka?
Well, that's an interesting question. I could talk all day about that one. So, first off, it's interesting because we have face-to-face instruction going on now. And so currently inside our classrooms right now, we have preschool, face-to-face, transitional kinder, first grade, second grade, third grade, and sixth grade in in-person instruction for those families who choose to do so. We were planning on bringing fourth and fifth grade back on the Monday after Thanksgiving. And then Dr. Frankovich came out with her, and I'll pretty much quote verbatim what she said, strong recommendation that schools take a 14-day break or a two-week break after the Thanksgiving vacation. Now, what she clearly said inside that is this does not have anything to do with specifically canceling instruction because we moved to the red tier. It has to do with families traveling and families bringing in folks from out of town and providing basically a quarantine period for those families so they don't bring into our schools COVID and enhance the spread of COVID amongst our community. And so with that recommendation, I'm a member of the St. Joseph Health Foundation Board, and Dr. Roberta Luskin-Hawk, who's the chief executive for St. Joseph Health, I was in a meeting there the day before yesterday, and she was talking about COVID, and I asked her the same question. I said, so what's your opinion on what we should do? And she said, again, almost a quote here, emphatically take a break for 2 weeks. She says, much like Dr. Frankovich said, is that this will be key in slowing the spread in our community. And the interesting thing about that is, we jump from a yellow tier to a red tier. And if you look across the state of California, right now, 94% of the population in the state of California is in a purple tier. So we still sit well as a county here in Humboldt County. And so their position, and I tend to agree at this point, and I'm a huge proponent of face-to-face instruction, but I agree with the break because we have enjoyed and continue to enjoy being the minority in the state of California as far as what our infection looks like up here. And part of that has to do with being behind the redwood curtain, because if you think about it, 50% of our cases right now are travel related. And so that's what's going to cause us to pop, and not in a good way, if we don't really take control of this over the holidays. And so my recommendation to the board tonight at our meeting will be that we do take a two-week break after Thanksgiving and a two-week break after Christmas and go to complete distance learning. And then right now, as it stands, we have 3 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas as far as instruction. And so we will come back for that 1 week just prior to the Christmas break. Because the one thing that's really important, as I alluded to a minute ago, is that this is a step to stop the spread. It is not a step to stop in-person instruction. The state says you can start in-person instruction all the way up through the red tier. And if you're already in-person instruction, you can continue it when you're in the purple tier.
So it's just kind of a continue as you're doing, but pay more attention, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're I'm very proud of our ability to have the appropriate social distancing, the appropriate personal protective equipment, and really provide that safe environment. Since we've started in-person instruction, we've been in in-person instruction for months now, very limited, and we've been scaling it up over time. And we have not had a secondary infection in any of our schools. And in fact, as far as I know right now, Humboldt County has not had a secondary infection in any of the schools yet as well. And I think part of that is just because of our dogged tenacity in making sure that our students and our staff are following the appropriate recommendations to slow and stop the spread in our schools.
Well, I guess we'll talk to St. Joe's board member then, Fred Van Fleck, when we come back, rather than the educational guy. I got a whole bunch of questions on that regard, and I think a lot of folks in the community do also, just to try to, you know, put words around or functional definitions around what we're supposed to be dealing with. But by and large, you're taking 2 weeks off after Christmas, back for a week, and then gone for 2 weeks. Why bother with the 1 week?
Because any face-to-face instruction, as I said earlier, I'm a proponent for, any face-to-face instruction is much more beneficial
okay.
than distance learning.
All right. KI, and then all the leftovers will be gone. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with St. Joe's Advisory Board member, Fred Van Fleck.
now, just for the clarification, I'm on the foundation board, not the advisory
board. Oh, the foundation board. Does that mean you know less?
Yes. That means I know nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we want to practice a catch and release this morning on that one, huh?
I know just enough to be dangerous, but I am certainly not the spokesperson for St. Joseph.
No. I was not wanting you to be spokesperson, just somebody who had a little bit more knowledge that you could share, that's all. It's interesting for me that all these counties are doing their thing, and yet the official edict out of Sacramento is don't. So there must obviously be a recognition that people will, rather than people won't, with this. But the going from our former status to where we are now and just kind of going through those two stages, was that anything that was recognized that could occur before? Or did that come as a surprise kind of to the entire healthcare system as well as the educational community?
Well, I can certainly speak about that from the education community. And from the education community perspective, it was a complete surprise to us because previous to this, you were only allowed to jump one tier at a time. And so this whole idea of jumping two tiers was just foreign to us.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And it was a complete surprise. And so You know, they followed my famous statement. I say this a lot. They followed the one rule in Sacramento. You know what the one rule in Sacramento is, right?
No rules.
There are no rules in Sacramento. You hit the nail right on the head. And so what they did was they just created a new rule, and they created, Governor Newsom called it pulling the emergency brake. I think what happened from an outsider's perspective, it was an old crud. This is spiraling, and we want to make sure that we get this under control. And a little bit of my skepticism, I wonder if there was a, we think this is serious, so we will really make it look serious, and so we're going to really move everybody, you know, more than double the counties to the purple and these other counties up to the red, and how justified that all was, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing that was curious to me in looking at that map. San Francisco County is one of the, at the low level, and I think Placer and one other, and that's about it. And everybody else is, you know, looking like we stepped in grapes or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely shocked by that. But we also have to recognize, take a look at the new cases we had. We came off of a weekend where we averaged basically 10 cases a day because we had 29 over 3 days. Although yesterday was nice to see back down to 4 cases, and hopefully we can mitigate that a little bit and keep it like this. And that's the idea behind taking the breather behind Thanksgiving, because let's be realistic. Right now, looking down in Los Angeles, the statistics down there are horrifying. And, you know, the reality is we as a community can't tell our neighbors, don't go to Los Angeles or don't bring anybody here from Los Angeles, and rightfully so. I think that's a very personal, individualized choice. I think we all know the risks of doing that. But if you so choose to do that, we want to do what we can to try to mitigate that spread. And another real problem for us is substitute teachers. And so think about this for a second as far as our teachers go. The travel advisory from the county is if you leave Humboldt County or if you leave the state of California, you are strongly encouraged, I think is the words, or strongly recommended, something, one of those, but the same basic premise, to self-quarantine for 14 days. And then they further go on to define self-quarantine, and that is in your house. Quarantine is not that you have it. It's just that you're quarantining away from others to stop the spread in case you have it. And so if we have teachers who are teaching in person and they follow those guidelines from the county, they can't teach the in-person, and then all of a sudden we have a substitute problem, and we cannot find that many substitutes to come in and teach our in-person classes if we have that many of our teachers travel. And that's just something that, as an employer, we can't reach out and say, thou shall not travel.
Can you find out if their plans are to travel?
I assume that we could.
Or just so you get a little running start at it.
Right, right. And guess what? If the board doesn't approve our recommendation, that's exactly where we're going to have to go. And it's my understanding that some of our friends and neighbors around here in schools have decided not to follow the advisory of the health department and continue a face-to-face instruction. And that's certainly a local decision that they can do that. And so that's exactly what they're going to have to be doing, is finding out who is and is not going to be there, and then taking the appropriate steps to make sure that they have their classrooms covered.
Eureka City Schools is closed all next week? I mean, normal, the Thanksgiving week you take off rather than just the last couple of days of the week?
Yes, that's correct. We are scheduled for non-instructional days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the holidays are Thursday, Friday. So our classified staff still work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, most of them, unless they take holiday day vacation days, but yes, we are closed.
So is this an op? Are you guys going to be doing anything different, or just, you know, make sure the place is still intact for 2 weeks from now, or three? I guess it'd be 3 weeks, huh?
Right. It would be 3 weeks from now if the board follows my recommendation. And as far as doing anything different over the break, nope, we're not, because we have already done our preparations for the in-person instruction. We've got the fogging machines, we've got the, which are disinfecting machines, we've got all the air purification in place. All those pieces are in place, and so we're prepared. And so that's the nice thing about where we're at right now is we're not scrambling. And so
neither are we, but we got a break here. It's 8:30.
name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, along with Murphy's Markets. Fred, as you consider some of the challenges and the changes looking ahead, you know, you got the immediate ones that I think everybody's fairly familiar with. Typically at this time, we're talking about enrollment status, we're talking about mid-year budgets, blah, 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 blah. What are you seeing as far as population projections for our area? I mean, we keep hearing some positive things about economic growth in this area or in that area. Are you guys seeing that we're going to start to see an upswing of families, not retirees, not flight from other areas, but good old-fashioned normal jobs here, kids staying, having kids, and seeing and feeling a robustness back in the local economy?
Well, as much as it pains me to say this, we live and die, obviously, by enrollment in our schools. And if you take a look at what the trend is in enrollment in our schools right now, and it's not good. This year is an anomaly for certain because parents have been moving their children all over the place, chasing what they think is going to be the best educational experience for their children, whether that be some sort of robust in-person program or some sort of distance program from a school district that is traditionally done distance, or parents homeschooling their children. There's been all kinds of independent options taken by parents, which has had a tremendous impact on our enrollment. And interestingly enough, Eureka High School's enrollment has been incredibly strong. They're at their highest enrollment they've been since I've been the superintendent, and this is my ninth year as a superintendent here. The middle schools are right there at the highest. They're not the highest, but they're at right at that number, really close to that number. And our elementary school enrollment continues to be dismal. You know, one of the realities for us is if our elementary school enrollment doesn't improve, and obviously the elementary school enrollment is what predicts our future enrollment in the middle schools and high schools. If our elementary school enrollment doesn't improve, we're going to have to have a real discussion about can we keep all of our elementary schools open, or are we going to have to look at closing one down again? And that's a conversation that I don't look forward to and don't want to have. And it's really going to hinge on what happens after COVID and what our enrollment looks like for the 21-22 school year. And so if elementary enrollment is an indicator, and I think it is, of the question you asked about what's happening in our community here, it's not strong as far as families moving in. And that holds true across the county. The county enrollment is down as well. So this isn't something that is just unique to Eureka City Schools.
So as you look at that, what are some of the areas that you are anxiously awaiting a positive outcome on that could result in, let's say, employment for the 20s and 30-year-olds that could reinfuse the population in the early grades?
Well, if you do a quick enrollment history of Eureka City Schools, we at our peak were about 8,000 students, and now we're about 3,600 students. So we're less than half of what we once were. And when we were at our peak of enrollment, which was in the late 1990s, at that time, we had two industries that were still very strong up here, although they were on the decline, and that's the timber industry and the fishing industry. And so if you were to look at those industries coming back, I think we all know that that is pretty doubtful given the regulation that's out there right now. But if you were to have some sort of industry come in and replace or provide the opportunity for workers, much like those industries did in our history, it certainly would have a great impact on our community. And a lot of people say, well, there's no housing for that because the housing is such a crisis up here. But the thing is, the housing that we have once supported 8,000 students being in Eureka City Schools. If the changing demographics of who's living in these houses and what they're doing that's really contributed to the enrollment across the county.
So we keep hearing things like this fiber optic coming in from, I guess, Singapore, I think is where it's coming from. The couple other of those large projects you talked about out on the North Spit also. Are those enough to spin it around a little bit, or are you talking about multiples of that to be able to really bring things back, so to speak?
Well, the numbers that I've heard, for instance, and I may not get this exactly right, but Nordic Aqua Farms, once that's fully built out, they're talking, 150 employees or so out there is the numbers that I've heard. I've also heard about this idea of becoming a manufacturing hub for wind power, offshore floating wind power machines, since we have the entrance to the bay that has no bridges, so there's not height restrictions there. And I think that that has the potential of bringing in hundreds of employees. And then you talk about the fiber optics, and I've never really heard a number with bringing that hub overseas. They're basically going to put that big cable all the way across and then terminate it right here in Eureka, have a station for it out there on the peninsula. But, realistically, from my perspective as a school person, that is the area of potential growth is out there. The disadvantage is it's in the tsunami zone. I think we all know that. The advantage is that's where you can build out there, and it's already zoned industrial. We know where the old pulp mills were out there, and the infrastructure's there, the water's there, and there's just tremendous opportunity out there if we can capitalize on that and make that work, and we can return some of these jobs up here on the North Coast. I think that is a key to bringing some of our younger families back up here. But I've also heard another key, and it'll be interesting to see how this impacts us as more young families coming up here, because we have, even though we have a housing shortage, as far as a house that you can see water, meaning the ocean, you can't find a better value than up here. And so I think that there is going to be a tremendous push now that everyone has experienced this distance working model where they're working from home of moving up here to Eureka. And we've seen it in the real estate market. It's on fire up here right now. And costs are escalating pretty quickly, which isn't necessarily good for first-time home buyers. But I think that's potentially what's happened is people are coming up here who like the area and can work remotely.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Couple minutes left with Fred Van Fleck this morning. So, Fred, for the holidays, I guess now that we're within a week, I can start playing with this a little bit. What's your favorite meal element in the Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, it's got to be definitely the leftovers, whether that be the turkey sandwich or the turkey gravy made the next day, because we always do night two with turkey gravy over usually mashed potatoes. Love that. Love that. It's all good. It's all good. You don't get to be a man of my girth without loving food.
Okay. What is the one tradition that you guys observe, either culinary or culturally, associated with Thanksgiving?
We're very traditional. I mean, as far our tradition is the sitting down as a family, and we always sit down as a family, and most of our dishes, almost all of our dishes, are very traditional as far as what we've had for years and years. And so it's just that family time that's a tradition that we do, and coming together. But there is no specific, breaking the wishbone on the turkey or something like that.
Or a meal that may have come from your grandparents or you know, from the old country, so to speak?
It's definitely the sourdough. I'm very big into sourdough, make my own bread, biscuits. I'll generally make fresh homemade sourdough, cinnamon rolls Thanksgiving morning, and that's definitely a tradition and very much enjoyed. A starter that's probably, I don't know, 30 plus years old. So,
cinnamon rolls. Now, do you do those small little tempters that are like maybe a dollar, maybe like a 50-cent piece big, or do you go with a palm size when you roll them?
We're talking softball.
There you go. Definitely. All right.
Yep. Really, and then you got to have that good old cream cheese frosting on top of it. I mean, if you're in, you might as well go all in.
Right. And butter isn't measured by the tablespoon; it's measured by the stick.
You got that right.
Yeah.
I think a batch of cinnamon rolls. By the time you have the frosting and the cinnamon rolls and everything, you're talking 3 cubes of butter.
Yeah. Oh, that's only for your size, right? Not for the rest of the...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's not even talking brown sugar yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if I could figure out how not to get the sticky on my hands, I think that would be a major breakthrough. But I don't react well to those gloves. You know, those thin little gloves that they use sometimes in the bakery to keep your hands clean.
Uh-huh.
To me...
Well, you know, you want to know the trick to keep the sticky off your hands? I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
You spray them with a no-stick cooking spray first.
Your hands?
Yeah.
Oh.
Works great.
Okay, that's worthy of test. You know, I would hate to say that I ever learned anything from a superintendent, but that I might have to confess on that one in December.
Yeah, well, I promise it works. It works really good. So I've actually been a convert to parchment paper and no stick cooking spray as far as rolling off the cinnamon rolls because it just works better in flour.
I will follow your lead this weekend and report back to everybody next week. Thanks for coming by, bud. Happy
Thanksgiving.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.